Hey everyone, welcome to the Raising Wonder podcast. If you've tuned in, I already believe two things about you. That you care about raising children who see themselves and the world around them as wonders to behold. And that we have something good for you in today's episode. Wonder what it might be? I'm Nicole Gillette and I'm the founder of Wonder Learning Community in Meadville, Pennsylvania. I'm an educator, business owner, and most importantly, wife and mother. And I'm truly grateful to share this space with you. As I picture you now, I imagine you might be listening with a baby on your hip, or while children are nearby playing, or perhaps you're sharing some of your precious alone time with us. You're in good company, and we're honored you're here. Raising kids is hard, but raising wonder makes it beautiful too. And guess what? Wonder is multiplied in community. We're in this together. Let's meet today's guest. Hello and welcome to our first guest. I'm so excited to have you on. You are my best friend, my husband, my co-parent, and my business partner. Welcome to Matt Gillette.
Hello. That's a lot of titles.
It is a lot of titles. We do a lot of things together.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, so I wanted to bring you on for the very first episode to talk a little bit about who we are, what we're doing at Wonder, and how that all relates to this specific podcast. And I have a question to start with. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, what did your room look like when you were a kid growing up?
What do you think it looked like?
Well, so I saw your room as a teenager. So that's a little... Mm-hmm. Piece of info for our listeners. So we've been dating a little tidbit. We've been dating for a long time. Well, I mean, we're not dating anymore, but we were dating for a long time. Now we've been married for some time too. 12 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I did see your room as a teenager, but I did not see it as a kid. So for me and anyone listening, I'm going somewhere with this. So like, what did your room look like when you were a kid?
Pretty messy.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised.
Probably what my trailer, what my construction trailer looks like right now.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. Okay, well, so like messy with what was in it?
Probably like clothes on the dresser, clothes on the floor. I wasn't a big book kid, so there probably wasn't any books around, but just... general childhood mess, I would assume. Toys, Legos.
So you had a lot of Legos and like other building toys too. Didn't you have Lincoln Logs? I remember you told Nico, our son, about that.
Connects, Legos, stuff like that.
Because I can guess...
baseball cards.
Oh, the baseball, okay, yeah. Baseball cards are kind of like an odd category, fitting in with the rest of that, but... I'm asking because I can see as a kid, if you had a lot of building things, that it makes sense for what you now do today as an adult.
Yeah, I'm a professional Lego maker.
Tell everybody, what do you do?
I own a construction company. So I have a construction company called King Arthur's Castle, named after our... 12-year-old boxer, Arthur. So I'm a general contractor. I've been doing this for about 7 years now. Starting out in carpentry and then going on to the whole house as well. I also am a landlord, and so we have about 20 units that we have bought, fixed up and rented.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of construction stuff.
Yeah. A lot of construction stuff. So I definitely want to talk a bit more about that. And I also just want to talk in general about how all those things are important to you, not just on the business level, but on the personal level too. And you're such a good person to have this first type of interview or conversation with, because We have conversations like this all the time. It feels like it's just getting to let other people peek into kind of like what we normally do. Every day we're talking about a lot of different things.
This just might be quieter.
Yeah, it might be a little quieter because we don't have our kids around, which for those who don't know, we have two children, Nico and Alanis. Nico is our son. He's 4. And Alanis is our daughter. She just turned 3. They're very close in age.
Yes, 4.
Which is really fun. But it's a lot sometimes too, right? Again, pretty much the theme of what wonder is, why we're doing this, because parenting and raising a family is like the best thing that we have ever been a part of. And we've been a part of a lot of things, as we're going to see in this conversation. But it's also, at least for me, speaking for myself, it's the hardest thing that I've ever been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would definitely agree with that.
So yeah, we'll dive more into that in a little bit too. But going back to construction and also thinking about you as a kid and like the things you said you had in your room kind of gives us a picture of who you were as a kid and now into your adulthood, doing what you do in construction and renovation. Do you think that those were related? What drew you into doing construction in the first place?
I always loved architecture before I knew what architecture was, and I just loved houses, specifically really old houses. I didn't really know that I liked them or that you could really make a career out of them. So I went to college and then got a corporate desk job and did the suit and tie thing for about 5 years until we started buying some rentals. And I realized that I could do something that I thoroughly enjoyed doing every day.
What has kept you in it this long?
I love the physical aspect of it, and I love the transformative aspect of it. Each company is a little different, and why I love each thing about it. The construction company, I love seeing something that someone has discarded or abandoned or misused turn into something that can be beautiful. Mm-hmm. I also like just seeing people enjoy their homes from like the residential contracting side. From the real estate side, like I said, I enjoy seeing things that were like abandoned. I like seeing things, especially old, that have been made new.
Yeah.
I like to imagine what things can be. And I like to solve problems, even to my own detriment sometimes. I enjoy problem solving. So sometimes we create more problems than we need to, but not all the time.
You think when you're solving problems, you create more problems sometimes?
Sometimes when something may, like, let's say, for example, you just really want to know what's behind that wall. And you may actually not really need to know what's behind that wall.
Sometimes you just have to
but then you've opened a can of worms.
Through that process, though.
Yeah. Right? And I enjoy that.
Yeah.
Especially okay, with old homes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we actually found some pretty cool things in the floorboards the other day. Found a newspaper, actually two different newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
One was the Meadville Tribune and one was the, I think it was the Pittsburgh Press. It was the title of it. And they were both from 1931. They were pretty funny and interesting. I actually just finished cutting, you see over there, I have the picture frame. I finished cutting some of the little pieces of it that I wanted to save and put in that frame. They're mostly ones that I just thought were interesting. Like, they're kind of unrelated. The whole newspaper, to be honest, I felt like was really unrelated. I don't know. I guess I don't really read like newspapers today either though. So maybe I'm not speaking from a very educated opinion, but I don't know. It just, the whole news, both of the newspaper, I mean, it was all like little fragments and pieces, so it was kind of hard to piece it together. But it was one section all of a sudden just advertising like blouses and how they can make you attractive to anyone. And the way they worded it was just so funny. And then same with like how inexpensive to our mind things were back then. Like there was an advertisement for flannel jackets that were like $2.50. And so I put little clippings of that to save because I thought that was interesting. But then totally unrelated, it would jump to this whole personal section of how they invited people in the newspaper to just regular gatherings. Like they weren't even big events or anything. It would be like, so-and-so on Randolph Street is having visitors at their house this week from this area of New York. It's their first visit in several years. It just was so interesting to me, like a whole list of probably 20 different parties and get-togethers. There was one listing that was all about just a bunch of women having a tea party coming up next week. And I just thought that was like really funny. Like, I don't think we would have things like that in our news today.
No.
I haven't seen a tea party advertisement in have a little get together with sandwiches and drink your Earl Grey. And I just loved it. So I saved it. But yeah, so we are in our latest project. That's what I'm referring to. We found in the floorboards of this building where we're recording this, which is Wonder Learning Community. It's in Meadville, Pennsylvania. And it's a space that we're opening for families, for them to be able to connect more deeply and get the support that they need to do that. So we're going to have an indoor play space here. We're going to have studio classes for parents and children to take together. We're going to provide parent coaching, and we're going to have a small retail shop with all different types of resources that are similar to what families would see in our play space, in our classes, and things like that. So that's been your latest renovation project. Can you give us an update on how we're doing? Where are we at in that opening process?
So just to circle back on finding a paper from 1931, means that this house is so old that it was renovated in 1931. So a renovation took place because they put a room over top of what was a piece of porch. So it's the original house is significantly older than that, probably late 1800s, to then have been renovated at some aspect 1931. So yeah, it's an old Victorian right in downtown Meadville on Chestnut Street. And it has been used for quite a few different things. Its last known use was office space. Before that was a dentist's office. And it felt much more office-y before. And we're kind of bringing it back to its a little more original glory with it feeling more homey, I think. You know, we've ripped out all the industrial carpets, and we have refinished the original hardwood floors in many areas. So yeah, I mean, we're going to be opening in two phases. So the first phase will be instructor-led studio space, the parent coaching, and the retail section. And we're probably about 60% done, I would say, with those things right now in general. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun to take a building that was empty for, you know, the majority of the last decade. Leaking roof. Yeah, everything.
Yeah. This is the first construction project I feel like we've done that is not residential.
Yeah, in our own portfolio. Yeah, I've worked on commercial before, but it's like been more like what you would envision commercial, like, you know, a doctor's office in a strip mall or something like that. Yeah. Not like a house in a commercial district.
Yeah. So we've worked together on a lot of things like this over the years, but they've always been residential. So we are coming to this area from Charleston, South Carolina, and we had some property there that we had renovated. They were residential spaces. And that was like such a difference from today. I feel like in so many ways, looking back on that, us working together there versus here, I think just so much time has changed a lot. I think that my patience and optimism has improved so much. Like, I remember when we first started doing things like this, I would feel so overwhelmed looking at a room that has been under, you know, we had demo day and there's just like stuff everywhere, and I would have a hard time seeing the vision. But you've always been really good at seeing a vision and helping bring other people into that, me and others. And over the years, it's definitely been something that you've helped me get better at.
Nice.
So thinking about vision and restoring spaces, and you have alluded a couple times now to how people can be restored to. Can you tell me more about what are some ways that people can be restored? Ways you've seen people be restored, ways you maybe have been restored yourself.
Well, professionally, through the construction company and through the real estate, we've had the opportunity to do things a little differently than your average construction company and your average property management company. I have 2 degrees, one of which is a background in sociology with a focus in social work. And I didn't know what I really wanted to do with that when I studied it, but I enjoyed being around people. And so I do feel like the Lord had a plan for that. And we have since been able to implement some of those social work aspects into our for-profit companies. So one example is that when we were in South Carolina, we had the benefit of the ability to work with a gentleman who is one of our best friends still to this day, and taught a financial advisory class or investments and financial literacy class in a youth correctional facility. And then some of those gentlemen, when they got out, they would come and work for me in the construction company. So I've had the ability to see a lot of people change when given the opportunity. Also on the real estate side, we work pretty closely with a lot of nonprofits, homeless shelters, transitional housing, rehabilitation centers, trying to provide opportunities for people who really want them and are trying to change their lives.
Yeah, that's so good. So one way that I think you have changed yourself in recent years is you became a dad. Can you tell us about what you're like as a father?
What I'm like as a father?
Yeah. How would you describe yourself?
Overwhelmed.
In the dad role. Overwhelmed. hey, that's real. Yeah. I would probably grab that adjective as describing my motherhood right now.
How to describe myself as a father. I don't know. It's hard to have that level of self-awareness, I guess. I don't know. It's been a big transition. I can find myself head down working a lot and easily work 6-7 days a week and lots of hours. And even when I'm home, my mind being plugged into work. And so I think that one transition that's been... This doesn't answer your question in terms of who I am and defining myself.
That's okay.
But one transition that I feel like has been since having children has been really like wanting to create a lot of memories with them. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that memory to be, dad worked a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that describes you then. You're intentional with how you go about
creating memories and building an environment for your kids. I definitely agree with that. I also think it's okay to say you don't know how you would describe yourself. Like, you're still, that's how you describe it. I'm still figuring it out. I think that's real and that's okay. It's a big job, and there are so many layers to it too, to like even think about it in one simple way or describe it in one straightforward sentence. It's kind of hard.
Maybe I should ask the kids.
Yeah, we should ask them. Yeah, I do wonder that though. And like, that is a great thing to keep in the forefront of your mind as a parent. What would my child say I was like at this age? What would my child say today was like? How did they interact with me? What are they going to remember about me? And I also think about that quote where it says, people won't remember exactly what you said or did, but they'll always remember how you've made them feel.
Mm.
I think about that a lot with kids too. Do you see any of yourself as a child in Nico or Alanis?
Yeah, I see personality traits in both of them. And I find it's just so interesting to think about how like they are their own people,
mm-hmm.
but still have personality traits of me and you and other parts of our family.
Yeah. What would you say to, what would you say to a dad who isn't sure how to take that next step in growing closer with their child?
A couple things. I say put your phone down. That has been something that's personal that I have to tell myself that all the time. Put your phone down, put it on do not disturb, whatever. And just give them their full attention. They just want to be played with. They want to pretend. They want to feel like they're being heard.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's only a short amount of time that you have, because you are busy and life is busy. But giving them 100% attention is, I have found, to be like so rewarding. If I only have 30 minutes, let's say it was a long day, I got home from work late or something, and it's 30 minutes before their bedtime, spending 30 minutes with undivided attention with them, I have found reaps more benefits than 15 minutes here distracted, or an hour here distracted, you yeah. know, like a shorter, fully devoted time. And I think it's also important to remember, because like, they're humans. We all yeah. want that. So it's not like, there are individual things with each child, and children are different than adults in some aspects. Yeah. But at the end of the day, we're all human.
Yeah.
And remembering that has been like important for me too, in that we might articulate what we want differently, but at the end of the day, when you really think about it, it really boils down to like a lot of the same things.
Mm.
Connection, safety, feeling loved, feeling heard.
Yeah. That's so good. That's a great point about it, even if it's a shorter amount of time, but it's more intentional or more focused, we actually are like seeing them and letting them know that you see them. It's better than a longer amount of time with less of that focus.
Mm.
Like, I think of, and this is not to throw any shade at watching a movie with your family. We love to do that. We definitely enjoy doing that. But if I was to compare sitting and watching a movie with our kids, or, you know, what is a movie, like almost 2 hours long, versus having a really intentional conversation where we're joking around and laughing for 5 minutes.
We're playing Magnet Tiles.
Yeah. That 5 minutes is I know for a fact more meaningful to them than sitting and watching, because we're not interacting. It seems so obvious on one hand, but it's also lost on us, I think, a lot of times, where I might feel like, oh, that was great, I just spent 2 hours with the kids watching this movie, but I didn't really. Versus if I just played with them for like 10 minutes, that would be, yeah, it's kind of, it's an interesting way to have your mind set beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So you do a lot. Some would say too much. But I actually think that you're really great about, you do a lot, but you're taking on what you can handle. I don't think that, are you surprised mm-hmm. I'm saying that? Mm-hmm. I don't think that that has always been the case, but in recent months, I have maybe even years, probably more so months, I really feel like you're a leader in that way. Like, you do a lot, but it's not to your detriment. So I don't know. I'd love to hear your perspective on that. Do you think that you, quote unquote, do too much?
Oh, first of all, thanks for saying that. It means a lot. Because those aren't the words I've heard in the past. Yeah. Rightfully so. Because I have done too many things to my detriment. To my own health detriment,
mm-hmm.
to the detriment of the relationships that I care about the most, even in an effort to show that I care about those relationships.
Mm.
So, what was your question again?
Do you think you do too much? Or do you think you do a lot?
I think I live on the teeter-totter scale where one straw can tip at the other side, but I do think that I'm at a good point right now.
Yeah.
I do think that I'm at a decent spot right now where where I'm handling it well.
Yeah.
With some good systems.
So that's what I'm wondering, if you could share a little bit about that. How in doing so much, how do you remain healthy and organized? Because I'm asking because I think a lot of parents, and especially I would imagine fathers, could feel like that. Like, they have a lot. They have a very full plate. We talked about a lot of things, work, our families, and just like interests we have. Like, you talked a little bit about how you're interested in helping others and building with your hands, all of that. I can imagine a lot of other dads might feel that way. So coming from a dad, how do you remain healthy and organized?
I always make the excuse as like an entrepreneur, like there's like, it's, you just never stop. You're always busy. There's always something to do. You're always like taking as many things on as you can because your income may be variable, more variable than, you know, a W-2 job, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I remember when I had a W-2 job and I was in sales, you can shut your laptop off and go home, but you also have the opportunity to work till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night and answer people's emails. And there'll probably be other people answering those emails back at you at the same time. So
yeah.
I don't think, my first reaction was like talking about being an entrepreneur, but I don't really think, just work in general. And I think, I'm not to say that, I'll speak for myself. I feel an obligation a lot of times to be a provider. And so that weight can be heavy.
Mm.
And so you always feel like, well, I'm working harder in order to do this, or I'm working harder for my family, or I'm going to work the weekends for my family, or I'm going to work late for them. And there are seasons that has to happen. So have grace in that and understand that. And there's, some of those seasons might be longer than others. But for me personally, I have found that, you know, just organizationally, living off a calendar and lists and outlining things and not just going off of memory has been one thing. For like I feel like I'm giving like general health tips right now. That's what you're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
Just like any, I feel like an old man saying this too, but taking my vitamins, you know, I have a slew of vitamins that I take now. And I have found that like my body responds better when I'm eating healthier and I'm taking vitamins. Also like no more late nighters. No more all-nighters. You know, we used to stay up and do bids and do estimates and do bookkeeping. And all that stuff does actually it does have to get done. But if you're operating on 3-4 hours of sleep, then how efficient are you really going to be throughout the day?
Yeah, I laugh because when you said no more late-nighters or all-nighters, my immediate thought was, like, you're referring to, like, being younger and just being out, like, having fun stuff. And but I think that's so good that you're not even talking about that. You're talking about, like...
bookkeeping.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people think... oh, but I'm doing a good thing, like I'm paying bills, I'm bookkeeping or whatever, I'm like working for my business, or I'm doing my side hustle. Side hustle culture is real. And, or even just, I don't know, even like if you were to be doing other good healthy habits like working out or reading, studying, things like that, but if you're not resting enough to get those things done, it's still not. It's not good. It's not.
And we're just talking about like health. Getting 6 to 7 hours of sleep, like, you know, 9 for you maybe. But no, I'm just like, that's not even a conversation about like, have you just sat on the couch and like enjoyed or gone for a hike and enjoyed nature or whatever it is that you do that you rest in Sabbath. Like that's a secondary conversation. I'm just talking about like, not staying up all night working on invoices or like creating a new marketing campaign or all those things. And again, hear me by saying like there are seasons that stuff just has to happen and you have to, but like it shouldn't be all the time.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be like the way that you operate is by working all day and working all night.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, all the cards are going to crumble.
Yeah.
You know,
that's really important for,
and if it is, you should reevaluate what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because it hit us. I mean, I really did. Because it was like that. It had to be like that at some point in time. Or I thought so, that it had to be that way. And I think having kids really changed that.
Because
I didn't want to just... The reason I became an entrepreneur was so that I would have freedom of time. And I did not have that. Because I was working all the time.
You like wind up working more sometimes when you.
It was I always see this quote and it's like, I didn't want to have a 9-to-5, so I became an entrepreneur. Now I work 7 days a week.
Do you feel like that slowed down after doing it for a while? Because you've been an entrepreneur for what now, like
full time for 7 years. Full time since 2017.
Okay. Yeah. So it's been some time. Has it gotten better, the workload? Or like,
it for sure has.
The seemingly high demand for work.
It for sure has. And there's different reasons for that. You know, we went through a pandemic, which shifted everything that we did. Mm-hmm. And we had to pivot in a lot of different ways. Having children, like moving 8 times and 3 years back and forth, like trying to decide where we were supposed to be. But yeah, I mean, I think to answer your original question on what are some healthy hot tips for organization and health, like I think that sleep has been the best. And I think that not being afraid to pivot, like, is one thing, too. And just setting parameters around different things. Like, as you know, obviously, you know, I got really sick last year. And then it's been a long transition getting back to being healthy. But yeah. Now that I am, Lord willing, I mean, like, praise the Lord, I am in the gym, and I am a very busy person, but, like, I block off time in my calendar to go. So it's in there, and I'll miss it, you know, but if an emergency happens. But if it's not on the calendar, you can't track it. Or if it's not written down, you can't track it.
Yeah.
So it has to be all laid out.
Yeah. I think as time goes on, you start to build new rhythms and new routines or new practices just as you get better at something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that tracking progress is something we've recently started implementing more and doing better at.
For sure.
Like a lot of things we would just start and just dive all the way in and we'd be like over our head with whether that was business stuff, family stuff, or whatever. But now that we're kind of rising above the water in some places, we're like, oh, probably tracking what we're doing here would be helpful. Maybe putting some boundaries up here would be helpful. And that's, you live and you learn, right? And you just have to, like you said, pivot and adjust. So you're obviously the best dad that I know in the whole world. You are. You're an amazing dad. I'm so grateful to get to parent with you and that our kids get to have you as a father. And as we mentioned before, you are so skilled at seeing vision and talking about vision and like big picture with people. You explain it much better than I do. That's one of the things I'm working on, right? How to explain vision so that other people are like, oh yeah, I see that too. I want to be in on that too. You're really good at that. And so I wanted to close with getting your picture for a couple of things. Is that okay with you?
Mm-hmm.
What are some dreams that you have for your own family, for our family? Me, you, Nico, Alanis, Arthur.
I really would like to travel more and experience more things with the kids and you and Arthur.
Yeah.
And you know, like, I love food, and so so do our children, and so do you. Those are things they've inherited from us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I would like to travel, have the ability to travel more and experience more things. Those are just like some quick tangible things. I obviously hope that, you know, the kids are healthy. I also would like to grow our family.
What about for Wonder? For this space that we're creating here now? What's a dream that you have for this place?
I want to see families feel connected again. Not like, and I say this because I've felt it before, not like you're just the babysitter. Like, I just have these kids and they're here with me for this short time period, and then someone else is going to come pick them up, you know? Or, like, they're my children, and they're a gift, and I want to connect with them. And so I want to see families feel, like, connected when they're playing, when they're taking a class. I want to feel them to feel restored if during, like, maybe working through some hard things.
Yeah.
I want to see, like, a larger community become an overflow out of individual families.
Mm-hmm.
So other parents who are struggling with things who may meet each other by bringing their kids to the play space or at an art class. I want to see kids make like best friends that may be lifetime best friends.
That'd be really cool. Yeah. Would you say it's pretty much the same for just our wider community, just this whole area or our community of people that we know? Or is there another aspect that you would add to that, like even past wonder?
I love the, I mean, we're not even open yet, but I love the idea of what we're trying to do, of what you have on your heart. And I mean, I would love to grow it to be multiple locations. If Lord willing, I would like to see families all over being experiencing the same things I described before.
Mm-hmm. I bet anyone we would talk to would also have a vision for their community or what they would hope to see here. And I think it's really important to know others' dreams too, and to work together towards those dreams. What are some ways that you think we could do that? How can we work towards knowing other people's dreams for their communities so that we could help them accomplish them?
Well, I think dreams are like a delicate thing, you know, like not everybody's like me and just has like 15 different ideas every single day and spews them out. Like, you know, I think for a lot of people, what they dream about, can become sacred, maybe because of like past hurt, or even just if I say it out loud, it might become real. Yeah. And so, I think if we create a space that feels safe and a space that feels like a community, and like a, like we've said before, like a village, then I think that people will be willing to share those dreams.
Yeah.
Whether that be just, like I said, like a parent or two parents like downstairs in the play space, playing and talking about their kids and talking about what could be.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe we can integrate something, a dream board somewhere. I don't know. What are things that you want to see in your community?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's good too, because I think it brings us back to what we talked about before when you asked me about like connecting with the kids. It's another reminder that we all are human and we all desire very similar things at the core.
Yeah, we do.
And so if there's a reminder of, one, we all do dream, we all do wonder about things, mm-hmm. and we have things that are like sacred to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reminder that we're all human, and it's also a reminder to do those things, because sometimes we can get so busy in our life that we like shut off the think big function.
Yeah. You're so kind. Just love how empathetic you are. You have a lot of empathy for others. So if anybody wants to check out what you're doing on a regular basis, where can they find you? Can they follow you on social media?
Yeah, we have the typical socials. Facebook, Instagram. King Arthur's Castle is the one that's most active. That's the construction company.
Mm-hmm.
We have a website too. KingArthur'sCastle.com. My email address is matt@king-arthurs-castle.com. It's a long mouthful.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. So anyone listening to this most likely already knows that we also are at Wonder Meadville PA on Instagram. We also have a Wonder Meadville Facebook page and then our website, wonderlearningco.com. And I'm going to put this podcast and all the information on there as well. And I would love if we could ask anyone listening to share this podcast with someone who is maybe curious about what we're doing here at Wonder, who might have dreams for their own community, or maybe even a man, because we heard a guy's perspective today from you, a man who is invested in family, whether that means he is a father himself or a grandfather or somebody who is just supporting families in general in so many different ways. It would be so great to build community that way by sharing this. And when I have this podcast post up, we would love it if you commented below the post about answering the question, what's a dream you have for your community? We want to start building that community and hearing from you right away. Thank you, Matt, for joining us.
My pleasure.